The Gospel according to John. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. We now invite the children to come up for the children's message.
All right, good morning. How is everyone? Good. So in the gospel this morning, we heard about how God protects us from evil and gives us knowledge. He helps us to learn to love one another and do the right thing. So just like God protects us, there are people in our lives who protect us. Our family, our friends, and even people here at church. Can you think of anyone here at church who protects you? Pastor Paul? God, that's right. God is everywhere. So we're going to invite Miss Anna up to talk to us this morning.
You guys, when you come to church most Sundays, between the services, where do you go? Downstairs. And what do you do downstairs?
Eat snacks.
You have snacks? And then you go into the Sunday school area, and who's in there?
Yeah.
I'm there!
Yeah.
Who else is there?
Mr. Blue!
Mr.
Let us pray.
Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for giving us teachers.
Thank you for giving us teachers.
Who teach us about love and protection.
To teach us about love and protection.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
I am going to be honest with you. When I first read over the text, I had no idea where to begin. I knew vaguely it had something to do with God's name being known, and that was about it. So, I packed my Bible and a pen and headed to Vicar Emily's office. The resulting brainchild is as follows. Please bear with me. During our meeting, I realized the reason I did not understand the passage was because I did not read the verses following immediately before and after the gospel. As I thought about it, the Bible is one giant book, and as follows with any literary analysis, people need context. In the text, Jesus knows he is going to die, and he will no longer be physically present, so he intercedes on behalf of the people. Jesus knows his hands-on ministry is no longer able to care for the people, so he urges God not to forget his children. The most poignant line of the gospel to me is John 17:12. It says, "And now I am no longer in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus recognizes that even though he has spent time with his disciples, teaching them, building them up, and loving them, they are still vulnerable to the challenges of this world. In the text, Jesus addresses God, asking for his people to be enveloped in one huge godly hug. Jesus, knowing his time on earth is about to end, does not want to forget the people he's leaving behind and knows they still need guidance and healing after his departure. This cry to God is Jesus' plea for his disciples and his plea on our behalf today. Jesus desperately wants us to continue to feel and experience how God is at work in and through us, even when it feels like God isn't near. This is the promise Jesus leaves us with on the cross, and the promise fulfilled through the resurrection. Not even death can separate us from the love of God, and in this text we find Jesus who cries out this promise to God. As we celebrate Youth Sunday and our graduating seniors, this verse seems fitting for the new season of life that many of us will be transitioning into. Parents, this verse is for you. This could not be more applicable to graduates about to leave the nest or whatever cliche phrase can be applied to this occasion. Like Jesus, who knew his time in this kingdom was coming to an end, you have known for the past 17 or 18 years that this time of transition and change would come. You have loved us and taught us how to live our best lives for God. You have prayed that your children will make the right decisions and succeed as young adults. You have modeled for us what it looks like to love the Lord, and you've pleaded, probably more than we know, that God would wrap us in God's love. We felt it, even if sometimes it's disguised as a sassy attitude. Parents, I know it is difficult to trust that your kids will be able to make it on their own, but we will, because we have your love and the love of this community to send us out. You did the best you could, and that's all God could ever ask. Besides, Jesus had to trust that his people would make the right decisions after his death and the ministry would carry on. It did, and it has evolved since its early days. That's not to say there haven't been mistakes along the way. I mean, come on, the Lutheran Church was born out of rebellion. All of that is to say, your kids may not always make the right decisions. As an impulsive teenager, I can assure you I won't. However, we have the church in this community that will always be our foundation to fall back on when and if we lose our way. One thing I am certain of, even if we lose sight of our faith, God will always love and look after us because God made a promise to Jesus. God will always welcome us into the fold and envelop us in love, especially in vulnerable times. like any parent, like you all would. So parents, thank you. Thank you for raising us in faith. Thank you for pleading on our behalf, just as Jesus has pleaded for all of us. Remember to trust us because you've done your job faithfully. Challenge us to grow and find ourselves in order to flower and become the wonderful adults God intends us to be. And to my peers, as tempting as it is to push your parents away, remember that this is a hard transition for them too, and that it is a daunting request to send someone you love into a challenging and broken world. Wherever you may be in life, may we always remember that the love of God and intercession of Jesus is the one constant in this world we can always depend on. In that promise, we are free to live our lives in confidence and glory to God, trusting that the love of Jesus will always go with us. Amen.